come on, yes, ma'am.
Oh, thank you, sir. The Honorable Louis Quinones is going to conduct your hearing, sir.
Yes, ma'am.
So next voice you hear will be his. Maybe not that. Now the next voice.
I had to cover my mic on that. Good afternoon, sir. Can you state your full name and ADC number for the record?
Warren Wesley Simon.
You are appearing before the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency for a 31412B parole hearing to consider parole to your next consecutive sentence or absolute discharge. Can you hear me clearly, sir?
Yes, sir.
I would like to introduce you to the members of the board conducting the hearing with you today. You cannot see us, but we are authorized for a four-member panel. In the hearing room, we have the Honorable Mr. Michael Johnson, the Honorable Ms. Gail Rittenhouse, who's serving as our acting board chairman, if I'm not mistaken.
I'm having difficulty hearing you on the telephone. Is there any way for me to put you on the aircon so I can hear you?
Well, sir, can you put your CO3 back on the phone?
Okay, I'm a little giddy.
Okay.
This hadn't been an issue for a while, and all of a sudden, the last couple of days.
It's an issue.
Yes. 71-year-old guy. Yeah. I'll soon be there. I hope not hear about that, man.
Well, what to say?
Hi. Can you hear him? I don't know. Find out. Can you hear
him? Sir, are you there?
Yes, we're there now.
Okay. We just want to make sure Mr. Summerlin can hear everything in this hearing.
It's been taken care of. Go ahead.
Okay, good. Mr. Quinones will proceed then.
Thank you, Ms. Rittenhouse. So I'd like to introduce you to the members of the board conducting the hearing with you today. Can you hear me clearly now?
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
Where I was born at?
No, I was going to introduce you to the members of the board. In the hearing room, we have the Honorable Mr. Michael Johnson, the Honorable Ms. Gail Rittenhouse, the Honorable Mr. David Neal, and my name is Louis Quinones. So I'll be serving as the hearing lead.
Okay.
I'll begin the hearing with the following summary. Mr. Warren Summerlin is 71 years old. He is certified eligible by DOC for 31412B parole to his next consecutive sentence or absolute discharge. He is currently serving a life sentence for murder in the first degree. It should be noted that he is pending an additional 28-year prison term for sexual assault. Mr. Summerlin was approximately 34 years old at the time of his offense. He was found guilty by jury trial on June 8, 1982. And sentenced to death on July 12, 1982. His case was later appealed, and his death sentence was vacated. Ultimately, his murder conviction was upheld, and on January 26, 2009, he was resentenced to life imprisonment with the possibility of parole with a standing consecutive prison term for sexual assault. According to Ames, he's been technically eligible for parole for his next consecutive sentence since May 1st, 2006, although he did not appear before this board for the first time until March 23rd, 2009. It should be noted that he has an extensive criminal history, including but not limited to prior convictions for vagrancy, interstate transport of a stolen vehicle, burglary, grand larceny, escape, and armed robbery. The instant offense represents an escalation in violent behavior. I'll read a short summary of the offense in question. On April 30th, 1981, at approximately 12:25 p.m., the victim, Brennan Jean Bailey, was found dead in the trunk of her 1974 Mustang, which was parked in the parking lot west of the Lowell Cross Market, located at 3442 West Van Buren. The victim had a large depressed skull fracture at the rear of her head. The victim was nude from the mid-chest down. Her clothing was later found on the left rear floorboard of her car. On the evening of April 29, 1981, the victim had been reported to the police as a missing person after failing to return to her job as a collection agent for Finance America in Tempe. It was determined that one of the stops the victim was to have made during her work day at the residence of Mr. and Mrs. Warren Summerlin, 3342 West Willetta, in reference to a delinquent payment on a loan. On that same evening, Summerlin's witness received a call from an anonymous female who stated that the defendant had murdered a girl from the finance company, rolled her in a blanket, and carted her away after she had been killed. With the information received, the police obtained a search warrant and conducted a search of Mr. Summerlin's residence. Investigators found numerous items which indicated that Mr. Summerlin was involved in the death of Brenna Jean Bailey. Based on the accumulated evidence, Mr. Summerlin was advised of his rights and placed under arrest. Mr. Summerlin was then booked into the Maricopa County Jail and charged with first-degree murder. And again, that is a summary of the events. According to Ames, Mr. Summerlin has completed moderate programming in the Arizona Department of Corrections. This is not a regular parole hearing, but he has a release plan, which includes support from his sister who lives in California. He's had moderate discipline in ADC from 1988 through 2018, with his last major on April 29, 2004, for possession or manufacturing of a weapon. This appears to be his 16th hearing before the board. He has no letters of support in his parole packet, and we have previous letters from victims' representatives opposing his release. We also have a letter from the Pinal County Attorney's Office dated January 26, 2016, and again, that's the last letter that that I had in my parole packet, opposing his parole. Now, Mr. Summerlin, can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
This is another opportunity for you to state your case before the board. We'd like to get to know you. Can you tell us in your own words about the offense that resulted in your incarceration?
I was just told here recently I don't have to plead guilty to anything without having an attorney present.
Well, sir, we're not asking you to plead guilty. You're appearing before the parole board for us to consider whether or not you should be paroled to your next consecutive sentence. So this is not a court trial. This is a parole hearing. We're just asking you if you want to share your own words about the offense that resulted in your imprisonment.
Okay, I can do this then. In 2009, in front of Judge Donahoe and my attorneys did a DNA profile on the evidence that was submitted back in 1982 during my trial. All the evidence came back inconclusive. The DNA came back not guilty. The judge said, Judge Donahoe said in 2009, he stated that I was found guilty by a jury of my peers back in 82. He also said if this was a trial and not a sentencing, things would be different. I would ask this court, this hearing, these people, to read the 2009, because it does show the evidence is not guilty on both charges.
Well, sir, it's certainly not my position as the hearing lead of this parole hearing to get in any sort of argument. But I do have a document dated January 26, 2009 that says it is the judgment of the court, and we're talking about the courts, not this parole board, that the defendant is guilty of the following: first degree murder, class one dangerous felony. As punishment, it is ordered that the defendant sentenced to a term of imprisonment and is committed to the Arizona Department of Corrections as follows. Count one, life with the possibility of parole after 25 years. From January 26, 2009. So as I had stated in my summary, I recognize that you were initially sentenced to death, that you pursued an appeal, that the death sentence was vacated, and again, your murder conviction was upheld, and on January 26, 2009, you were resentenced to life imprisonment with the possibility of parole, with a standing consecutive prison sentence for sexual assault. So I will ask you, politely, are you admitting involvement in this case?
I'm the only answer to that question that took it to trial and pleaded not guilty on the grounds there's no physical evidence to prove of guilt, and my answer would be I'm pleading not guilty now.
Okay, well, it's not a question of pleading guilty. You're saying you're not guilty of this charge. Correct?
Yes. I'm pleading not guilty for this charge.
Okay.
On the grounds where the DNA came back, not guilty.
No, okay. Just to be clear again, though, you're not pleading on this case. This is a parole hearing, and we're considering whether or not to grant parole to your next consecutive sentence. And that next consecutive sentence is a 28-year prison term for sexual assault. So,
yes, yes, sir, and that means I had to pull 18 years on the 28 before I'd be eligible for parole to the streets.
Thank you, sir. Now, the way I'm interpreting this, you're stating that you're not guilty in this case, so I'm going to ask you some questions about your incarceration, being as that you have been in the Arizona Department of Corrections for over 30 years. Is that correct, sir?
That is correct.
Okay. Now, you have completed modern programming at ADC.
I've got all the programs that I'm allowed to take here at Cookie, where I'm at right now.
Again, this is not a regular parole hearing. This is a hearing to consider parole to the next consecutive sentence. As I stated, you received some programming. I said that you had some discipline in ADC from 1988 through 2018, but you have not had a major since 2004, so we certainly commend you for your record inside the Department of Corrections in over the last 10 years. It looks like you did have some minors that were, I'm going to review this quickly, I'm sorry, I'm going to find the page. It looks like your last minor was in 2010 for assault on an inmate, but that was declared a minor. And then your last three infractions in 2012, 2017, and 2018 were either dismissed or informally resolved. Is that correct?
I'm not familiar with it because I don't remember all the years and dates and stuff.
Okay, sir. This is kind of a difficult question as you're stating that you're innocent. I'll still ask you, how have you changed since you've been inside the prison system? You entered DOC in the early 1980s, and it's now 2018, so how do you think you've changed or grown or developed as a person in these last 30-plus years?
Well, I think I changed because of my age. I got a little bit smarter, maybe a little bit wiser. I don't get in fights, and I get along with everybody. I've been working here in the kitchen now, pots and pans, a dishwasher, for now almost 2 years. And ever since I came over on this yard in 2013, that I did the garbage detail on a few other jobs, but I'm working in the kitchen right now. Everybody likes the work I do, and I will continue to do my kitchen duties. As far as my frame of mind goes, I still have a positive attitude. I still have a positive attitude. I'm still trying to get some records from the court so I can continue to appeal my case to the U.S. Supreme Court.
Okay, sir. We certainly respect your ongoing struggles in the criminal justice system. As I stated, we're a different part of the system. We work for the executive branch, and we're only here to consider parole. But we certainly wish you the best in your ongoing appeal process. Sir,
I would like to say that as far as my conduct in the past, when there has been infamous means my life was in danger by other inmates, and it should be noted that I almost died back in 2009 by the AD, almost killed me. I didn't press charges against him or the police department for opening up the door and letting this inmate come in and almost kill me. But I had to defend myself to the best of my ability. My last either minor write-up or major write-up, me and another guy was throwing water back and forth at each other, and that's all it was. No one got injured, and we got a major write-up for throwing water back and forth. Like I said, my last write-up had to do with throwing water back and forth, you know, this spring, and that was when I was over there in, I think it was SMU2, I don't know what they call it now. They couldn't call it, I don't know what they call it now. This was the safety very straight. I wanted to see him as a violent person, but I don't know if you people realize, but there is people that do like to, I'm going to use the word, intercourse with other inmates and stuff like that there. And if you're approached that way and you don't swing that way, you have to defend yourself. Same thing with stealing. We don't allow any stealing on this yard from each inmate. If you catch somebody in there in your house, I realize the program is you catch someone doing anything or someone threatening you, you're supposed to go to the officers. But most of these officers, they're in for the paycheck. They don't get involved. They don't want to hear about it. They don't care. And you have to stand up for yourself. You don't have to stand up tall in these places. But when your number's called, that you got to stand up and defend your own life. That's what you got to do, because you don't have no one else to stand up for you. I just want to get that point across to you. Okay, sir?
Yes, sir. Yeah, we appreciate your candor with the board. I think there's somewhere in the pre-sentencing report. Were you married at the time that you were arrested for this offense, sir?
Say again, please.
Were you married at the time that you were arrested for this offense?
Yes, sir.
Are you still married, sir?
No, sir. My wife has passed away since I've been here. So I was informed.
I think she made a reference that you were prone to fits of rage back then. And we've already established that you deny your involvement in the crime. But why was your wife saying that you were prone to rage?
My wife has already passed away, and it's definitely, she can't defend herself, but she was alcoholic, and she just had episodes from I was her third husband. Maybe she had problems in the past, but she didn't have any problems with me.
So I noticed that you don't have any support in the hearing room today. Are there any individuals that are supporting you outside of the prison system?
Let me get back on this one thing before we go to back there.
Sure.
I had a little 11. They found me competent to stand trial. I had a CAT scan. I had no brain tumors and no scars on my brain. And all the tests they gave me does not indicate any violent rages or voices or none of that stuff there in my psych report and stuff. I'm not on no psych medication. I am on medication for arthritis and stomach pills for small infection in that area there. But other than that, I'm okay.
Question, sir, because I read from a statement earlier from the Superior Court of Arizona, you're stating that the court stated you're not guilty, but it's pretty obvious they stated, the court, that you are guilty of first-degree murder. It's that they vacated the death penalty. So why are you saying that they said you're not guilty?
Okay. In front of Judge Donahoe in 2009, 2009, like I said previously, they did a DNA testing on the evidence that was submitted back in 1982 on the so-called murder weapon on all the items. It either came back inconclusive, and they did find pubic hairs on the victim's body. It came back negative to William Summerlin. There was coarse, kinky, and black. And at that time, I think I had brown hair. I'm like gray hair now. But it came out in 2009 that the DNA said not guilty on the rape charge. And the fingernail scrapings was not guilty. And whatever else they tested in 2009 came back not guilty. The judge went ahead and said, this is not a trial. This is a finishing hearing. If that sentence was overturned, they was trying to put me back on death row. That's why they went out and got that DNA profile down and thought they'd put me back on death row. All the judge said his exact words was, even though the evidence and the DNA came back not guilty, he was found guilty back in 1982 by a jury of your peers. He said, I had no other choice but to grant the sentence you the 25 to life. But at 28 years, you run consecutively with your 25 to life. He wanted to say that you have 27 years and 8 months in. I'm going to credit you with 27 years and 8 months. And it'd be left up to the commendation board or the parole board that they decide to parole you to your 28-year sentence. And if they do decide to parole you to your 28-year sentence, you have to do 18 calendar years before you be able to return to society. Something in that area.
Okay, so I'm going to ask my fellow board members if they have any questions for you.
Yes, sir.
I have no questions from fellow board members. Mr. Summerlin, we're getting close. Oh, pardon me. Do we have any individuals who are here to speak on behalf of Mr. Summerlin or on behalf of the victim? Thank you, ma'am. And if you could approach the podium.
Can I add something?
Hold on, ma'am. Sir, we're moving forward. Mr. Summerlin?
Yes, sir.
I'm going to hold off from the statement from the victim's representative for 1 second. What was it that you wanted to share with the board?
I wanted to mention that, yeah, as far as I know, and my sister still lives in California, and she would welcome my presence after I do my 18 years. It's my sister's 1 year younger than I am. I'm 71. And I don't know how many more years she has out there. Or it goes. That's about it.
Okay, and is there any particular reason why she hasn't sent a letter or why she's not in the hearing room today, sir?
She was in California. She's old. Like I said, 1 year younger than me. And she told me many times on the phone she'd welcome me there, but she doesn't want to get anything to do with the case. She sends me money in every month, pretty much. Now a few dollars here and there. But if she ever passes away while I'm still here waiting to get paroled to my 28, is there any way, can people be paroled to other states?
Sir, that's not something that this board determines. If you are ever released, if this board ever votes to... Let me back up. If you ever pass your next consecutive sentence, and ultimately voted for community supervision, you can apply for interstate compact. But interstate compact is not something that this board determines.
Okay. As far as I know, okay, that's pretty much that. Talk to you later.
No, okay, sir, hold on. We're going to continue the hearing.
Okay.
All right, yes, ma'am.
Hi, my name is Carrie Gerson, and I'm the victim advocate with the Department of Corrections. I do have a letter from Joanna Lawrence, who was the sister of the deceased victim, Brenna Cox Bailey. It is dated May 10th, 2018. It says, members of the board, The family of Brenna Cox Bailey is not able to be in attendance for the above reference parole hearing, Lauren Summerlin. However, we would still like her slash our voice to be heard and appreciate the opportunity to do so by letter. It's not a celebratory moment, but 2018 marks the 37th year our lives have unwillingly been intertwined with the legal system. Lauren Summerlin is responsible for this. With many thanks to the police and a few lawyers who so diligently prosecuted Mr. Summerlin, he was and remains incarcerated. However, our beloved, joyous Brenna is still gone, and Mr. Summerlin showed no remorse nor claims any responsibility. So not too much has changed over the years. It is the family's desire that Mr. Summerlin be incarcerated until his demise, but we leave it up to the board member's discretion as to how that happens. If it means he continues to serve the life sentence with only the hope of parole to the next sentence every 6 months, or his sentence is conveyed now to the sexual assault charge with no hope of parole for at least a dozen more years, then so be it. We trust the board to make whatever decision they are bound to do so. The family thanks the clemency board and victim witness for all the courtesies extended over the years. As long as there is a parole hearing, one of us will be in attendance or make contact by letter. It's a family gathering we don't want to attend, but Mr. Summerlin is responsible for it. Please let us know the outcome of this hearing on behalf of the family of Brenna Cox Bailey, Joanna Lawrence.
Thank you, ma'am.
Thank you.
Do we have any further statements from the victim's representatives? Thank you very much. Once again, do we have anyone else in the hearing room that wishes to speak on behalf of Mr. Summerlin or the victim? So make a good faith request. Okay, Mr. Summerlin, we're going to continue with your hearing, and we're getting close to the end. So, is there a final statement you would like to make to the board before we go into discussion? We only ask that you don't repeat anything that you've already told us, but this is your hearing. So is there anything else that you feel that you need to share?
Not at this time.
Thank you, Mr. Summerlin.
I can't make an ask.
Thank you, Mr. Summerlin.
Yes, sir.
The board will be going into discussion now. It may sound like we're speaking with you directly, especially because this is a telephone hearing, but it is the board discussing the case amongst itself under the open meeting laws of Arizona, and you're reminded that the board does not discuss these cases before we come into the hearing room. So, if you'll just remain on the phone, we'll come back to you shortly with our decision. Thank you, sir.
Okay, sir.
The board is now in discussion. Fellow board members, this is a disturbing case, to say the least, as Mr. Summerlin is still continuing to serve a life sentence for murder in the first degree with a consecutive sentence, a 28-year prison sentence for sexual assault. Mr. Summerlin has been through the criminal justice system in what sounds like more than one action. And as I stated earlier, his death sentence was vacated, but his life sentence for murder in the first degree was upheld. And again, he's still pending a 28-year sentence for sexual assault. Mr. Summerlin denies his involvement in this case. But as I've stated in past hearings, as one board member, I have to take the case at face value, and all indications are that he was found guilty of first-degree murder. I have a fundamental fundamental problem with individuals who will not take responsibility for their actions or show accountability before this board, although, as I stated earlier, I do respect people that have ongoing actions in the court system. So I will simply state that based on the totality of this case at face value and Mr. Summerlin's extensive criminal history, propensity for violence, I do not believe that granting him parole to his next consecutive sentence would serve the interest of justice or the people of Arizona, nor public safety, but I am certainly open to the input of my colleagues.
Okay.
Now I'm going to go ahead and make a motion and see where the votes fall. Thank you, fellow board members. And that is regarding Mr. Warren Summerlin, ADC number 04318. My motion is to deny him parole to his next consecutive sentence or absolute discharge, and based on the year of his conviction, he's not eligible for a one-year set-off, and that is my motion.
Second.
Seconded by Mr. Johnson, agreed upon by Ms. Rittenhouse and Mr. Neal.
Yes.
Do you agree?
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, sir.
All right.
Denied again is parole to his next consecutive sentence or absolute discharge, and my reasons are as follows: serious and violent offense, loss of human life, serious and deviant offense, trauma to the victim, serious bodily injury, he had a violation of past probation, was in his pre-sentence report. Prior criminal history, I'll double check before I check this box again. Yes, full release plan. And although he made reference to it in his institution progress report, no family community support system, do any of my fellow board members have anything to add? Okay, Mr. Summerlin, the board has voted. You voted to deny parole to your next consecutive sentence or absolute discharge. Did you understand our reasons?
Say that last part.
I stated that the board has unanimously denied parole to your next consecutive sentence or absolute discharge. Did you understand our reasons for denial?
I'm going to say no. I don't really understand, but that's okay.
Well, do you want to read the reasons for denial again?
Next time I come up here, I'll have an attorney present.
Well, sir, that is certainly within your right to hire an attorney. So are you certified to appear before this board again in approximately 6 months? Again, that's handled by the Arizona Department of Corrections. In the meantime, we wish you the best in your continuing rehabilitation process, and this will bring the hearing to a close.
Okay. I guess we're done.
Mr.